So we are talking about migrants being sold like a commodity by smugglers. We are talking about bondage houses also where migrants are being held by smugglers and by some of the militias.
And where are the people from? You mentioned Gambia, Senegal, perhaps Eritrea. What are these people telling you? What are their stories about getting across the Sahara, presumably?
We are talking about different countries. The main issue that those people do not have any documents. So they travel through irregular borders and they are totally under the mercy of the smugglers. During this trip, they are kidnapped for ransom. They are being sold and they are also being tortured and sometimes killed. And when migrants are killed, unfortunately, there is no clear identification even before burying them, many times in the desert. So many families do not know where their family members are at this point in time.
Now, you're the chief of mission for the IOM, the International Organization for Migration in Libya. When did you start noticing this trend about slave trading, effectively, of migrants?
The smuggling business has been going for many years now, and the smuggling networks are getting stronger and stronger. But selling people in the market, selling people for forced labor, especially increased during the last year.
And where exactly are these slave markets? In the Sahara, or once people arrive at their destination and the smugglers claim they haven't been paid for the transport across the desert?
It is in different parts, so you can talk about the south and many times about the west of Libya.
Right, and can you tell me what the migrants who've been sold as slaves are telling you? What's the treatment? What are they expected to do by their new owners?
Forced being locked for a long time and then being sold usually to conduct hard daily labor work. And some of them reported that the new employer maybe would pay them and provide food, but most of the cases they just work for their food.
And how long are they held for?
Usually they are held for extended durations, but the majority reported 3 to 4 months.
Right, so presumably you come in, the IOM comes in once they've been released. What kind of condition are they in? What are they telling you about what's happened to them?
Usually IOM try to interfere at the early stages. We are trying also to advocate with the authorities. There has been some efforts from the authorities to stop this phenomena, but unfortunately the smuggling networks are strong and very well established. Most of the stories we hear that they were very ill-treated, they were locked against their will, and they were forced to work without any payment.
And how many people have you spoken to so far? Do you have an idea of the kind of numbers we're talking about?
Usually we speak to thousands of migrants through our different programs because we have our voluntary return programs where migrants are being sent back to their home country voluntarily if they want to go back. And this program targets thousands of migrants. So you hear a lot of stories and you also witness a lot of cases, some with burns, some with, let me say, signs of violence on their bodies.
Right. You say you speak to thousands, but what's the sort of percentage of those people who report that they've been traded as slaves?
From the cases who have been traded, usually we have, I would say, tens.
In the tens.
Of cases, yes. In the tens. The group we talk to, but now we are expanding our work in the country, targeting new areas where we will be able to get more information.
And you talk about the IOM's returns policy, you help migrants go home. Mm-hmm. You have had a lot of success in getting migrants back home. And once they get home, are they spreading the message? And I ask that question because you report in your latest findings that migrants have no idea that this could potentially happen to them. Where's the communication breaking down?
The message is being spread. There is a lot of advocacy. There are a lot of information campaigns. But many times people want to take their chances, want to try. Now with the increasing violence and with the increasing number of people who want to go back home, we are witnessing maybe that less people are willing to take the trip to Libya, so to cross to Libya at this point in time. But unfortunately, many people want to take their chances. So advocacy definitely help, but it is not the only solution because people still want to take their chance looking for better life since many of them don't have a better life back home and they have very limited option. And as you know, the amount of risk you are willing to take is linked to the options you may have back home. So if I cannot feed my children, then I'm willing to sacrifice my life looking for a better maybe future for them.